Blog Talk Radio.
Fasten your seatbelts and put your foot on the gas. The Red Light Sports Network presents the Red Light Sports Ramble.
They say it's cool and that, but I don't. They probably don't really think it's that cool.
With Troy Otradovic.
He is really good.
And Evan Witalison.
He's awesome.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Red Light Sports Rambo. I am Troy Otradovic, joined by the marvelous Evan Witalison out in the great state of Wisconsin. What's going on today, buddy?
Not a whole lot. I guess I can safely say I'm doing better than the Vikings are doing today, as their season pretty much got derailed by one injury, and we're going to talk about that a little more in a bit, but also some Packers news to talk about as well. So, but I'm doing well, and just, you know, got another great workout in this morning, did another dance routine, and I just got to say, for those that are, you know, for those that are, you know, looking to get into shape, now's the time to do it. We're about to get into September. Now's the time to do it. You know, work on getting yourself ready to go for the, 2017 will be here before we know it. Why not start now getting ready? Why not start now to, get healthy and better yourself? So, you know, if you want to start looking, you know, losing weight, you want to start getting fit, you want to start exercising, make some lifestyle changes, and shoot me an email, coachevan66@gmail.com, coachevan66@gmail.com. Shoot me an email, and I'll give you some ideas on different stuff you can do in order to get fit. So with that, Troy, you know, as I mentioned, I have to talk about the Vikings season being derailed and some Packer cuts that just happened. And before I do that, throw it back to you. How are things in Western PA?
Oh, man, it's hot again. You know, we've been talking about the weather, you know, and it's really steaming up in the NFL right now, too, as we get down to the last preseason week. But weather-wise out here, buddy, it's hot, humid, sticky pea soup weather again, and I don't like it. I mean, the evenings are nice, but the days are wicked hot. Doesn't seem like September's 2 days away. In the NFL, Evan, we've talked about this. The way that the NFL has progressed over the past, I would say, 3, 4, 5 years, it is about shaping your 53-man roster, yes. But you're noticing a lot of teams getting very cautious. And the thing is, it doesn't matter how cautious you get, Evan. Every year, there's that wow injury. It started with Tony Romo, and then today, non-game situation, non-contact situation at Minnesota Vikings practice. Franchise quarterback Teddy Bridgewater goes down with a left knee injury. Dislocated his knee, tore his ACL. And I had to laugh because I was reading, not at the injury, at a reporter asking if Teddy Bridgewater was going to be able to play again this year. I was reading an article. I mean, I would imagine with a knee injury that horrific, Adrian Peterson defying the odds coming back as quick as he did, but there was no way Teddy Bridgewater is going to come back from a dislocation and a torn ACL in this season. So I had to kind of throw my hands up in the air and like, really? Because this is a significant injury, Evan. And I know it hurts the Vikings this year, but it's also an ACL and knee injury. And there are future implications to me. I know people come back from ACL injuries, but every body is different. I had an ACL injury, came back just fine. But I had a roommate in college, ACL injury, and had nothing but problems with that knee for the next 4 or 5 years of his life. And he was in the same type of shape I was. People recover different from injuries and come back different. So you can't always assume that, oh, he'll rehab and he'll be just fine. You don't know what the future now holds. You know you don't have him for a year, but it's an ACL injury. We've got to see how it rehabs. So that's where we're going to start, Evan. But you look at the preseason, and teams are trying to get out safe. That's what they're doing. And this was a practice. This wasn't even a game situation. And Teddy Bridgewater went down. And now their future rests in the arms of aging veteran Sean Hill, 16-18 as a starter, and Joel Stave, former Wisconsin Badger quarterback. I put out a Twitter poll on our Twitter page. Who's in better shape, the Vikings or Cowboys at quarterback? If I'm the Vikings, I'm looking at the waiver wire now, and I'm possibly even looking at trading, Evan. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, first, regarding Bridgewater, in reality, his career could be done. Because there was a complete ACL tear and other knee damage. You know, I guess the knee dislocated. You know, you look at guys like Dante Culpepper. That's who it kind of reminds me of. Because who knows what else got damaged there? Who knows what else got hurt in that knee? We don't know. We don't know what else got injured it with that knee. And at the end of the day, it could be career ending. You know, it could be the end of Bridgewater's career. And if that is the case, it's gonna suck. You know, I like Bridgewater. It's not a. I saw some Packer fans, tweeting out and Facebooking, basically happy and cheering about that. But no, I don't like seeing anyone get hurt. I don't like seeing any player get hurt. And I don't care if he's a Viking, a Bear, a Lion. I don't want to see anyone get hurt. And Bridgewater is a good up-and-coming quarterback. You know, Vikings are going to be really a team to reckon with if he's able to get back to full health 100%. But, you know, I hope Bridgewater is able to come back and continue his career and be effective, and it's not another Dante Culpepper situation. Because Culpepper screwed his knee up pretty well. And then what I hope didn't happen is what happened to Culpepper, and then they happened to Smith down in Dallas with Notre Dame, you know, to have some nerve damage in that knee as well. So, you know, I hope Bridgewater has a quick and speedy recovery, but he's not playing again this year, and he may not play again next year, if at all. Now, the Vikings did bring Brad Sorensen back. He was a quarterback that they cut. They had cut initially to get the roster down to 75, but after Bridgewater's injury, they brought him back. They brought up Sean Hill and Joe Stave. It's going to be a tough situation for, and you got Sorensen. It's going to be a tough situation. You know, maybe Kaepernick will be available via a trade. Maybe, Mark Sanchez will be available. The Broncos are looking to move Sanchez. The Dallas quarterback position is definitely better shape than Minnesota. And I know Dallas has a rookie being their starting quarterback, but it's a rookie that's shown a lot of promise. Sean Hill he's a good backup for maybe a half, maybe a quarter or two. But he's not a quarterback that's going to be a full-time starter anymore, and he never was. And Joe Stave, I like Joe Stave. I liked him at Wisconsin, but he's not an NFL starter. He's like a Joe Sorge guy who would be a good backup to have on the team if you need somebody in a pinch for some short situation. Now, the Vikings could be okay. They're definitely not going to be a division contender, but they could be okay for the fact that they are a team that depends on a power running game and a lockdown defense. The Vikings have a lockdown defense, and that, you know, they're going to have to depend on the running game, and they're going to have to depend on the defense to shut teams out. That's what they're going to have to do. They have, you know, they have Adrian Peterson. They're just going to have to feed Peterson and hope the quarterback can make a couple big throws here and there, whoever it's going to be. And, you know, it does suck seeing this potentially being the end of the Vikings right here with a team that was going to look very promising. Like I said, it's not I could care less if he's a Viking. He's a human being first, and what he has spent his entire career working towards has now hit a pretty big speed bump. So I guess the Vikings are one play away from Joe Stave time, huh? Who would have thought, Troy, when going into the draft that Joe Stave will be one play away.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing. So, yeah, with Joe Stave there, you know, sitting there, I'm sure he didn't think that his number would get called. I mean, it probably won't get called, but like you said, one play away from it happening. I would imagine, Evan, the Vikings are going to find a veteran quarterback that gets released. I know, you know, you're not going to jump and do something off the cuff. Zach Mettenberg was cut. He's probably not the answer in Minnesota, but you're going to see some of these backup quarterbacks that are going to be released probably after preseason game number four. I know it's not a great time to bring them in, but when you look at it, Sean Hill, the keys to the Cadillac have been given to him. And like you said, he's nothing more than a viable backup that can come in when your starter gets injured for a game or two. He's that little Band-Aid that goes on, but then when the Band-Aid gets wet, it kind of falls off. That's what Sean Hill is. He is not a guy that I'm going to put my 100% faith in that he can lead my team to victory every week. He's a guy that can come in, maybe get the job done, an average quarterback at best over his career. I mean, his record proves it, 16-18. I definitely think the Vikings are going to be out on the waiver wire looking for a guy to come in, let him learn the offense, and supplant Sean Hill as the starting quarterback. Now, the Vikings, Evan, like you said, they're a run-first team. So now the pressure falls back onto the great Adrian Peterson. He's a guy that's going to have to carry the load. But here's the problem, Evan. When you had Teddy Bridgewater, there's now a threat of a passing game. There's a dual threat because Teddy Bridgewater can take off and get out of the pocket and run and move the chains. You couldn't stack the box because there was enough with Teddy Bridgewater that he could beat you. And they went out in the draft and they got Laquon Treadwell to try and add another weapon. And so, you know, in his rookie year, they really didn't – they would still try to stack the box and stop Peterson because they weren't sure what Teddy Bridgewater was. But if you look at the success last year, teams now had to respect what Teddy Bridgewater could do. Now he's gone, and you're going to put either Sean Hill and, hey, Joel Stave, I'm a Badger fan. If he gets his number called, I know he's on the Vikings, but I can't help but cheer for an old Badger, unless he's playing against the Packers. But my point is, you're now going to be able to stack the box. You know, can Sean Hill do enough when there's eight men in the box? I'm not sure he can. Teddy Bridgewater could. And so there's where my concern is right there, Evan, is, okay, you got a great running back. But now teams are just going to be able to tee up and say, fine, we're going to stop Adrian Peterson. We're going to see if your quarterback can beat us. And I don't think they have that quarterback on the roster right now. And I want to touch on something you said too, Evan, right at the beginning. I don't care who gets injured. Like you. And I don't know why you cheer for something bad to happen to another player. Look at that from the standpoint of this guy is going through a lot of pain, and I don't care if he's a Viking, and I may dislike the Vikings, but when it comes down to a person getting a horrific injury that takes him away from something that one, he's paid to do, but loves to do. That's just not right. You know, and I live in Western PA now, and that would be like, you know, the Steeler fans with Tom Brady getting hurt. Well, you know what? I don't cheer or hope that anybody gets hurt. And to be honest, Evan, as a former athlete, I always wanted to play against the best. I don't know about you. Yeah, I want to win, but I also wanted to beat the best. I wanted to play against top-notch quality every time because I had confidence in myself and in my team. So I don't know why fans cheer when somebody gets hurt. I just don't believe in that. I don't think it's right. You know, at the end of the day, you strap on your chin strap and you put your best players against their best players, and the team will win, whoever plays better. And like you said, though, Evan, I did put that poll out, and, you know, so far we got just a small taking on the poll with four votes, and for everybody is in conjunction. Everybody's voting for the Cowboys, and I agree. And I want to touch a little bit on that with you, with Dak Prescott. The reason I think the Cowboys are in better shape, Evan, is they have an offensive line that I think is much better than the Vikings. And you had mentioned Prescott showing some promise, which is exactly what I was saying about stacking the box. Now, the Cowboys, they do have some veteran runners in the backfield, but they also have Ezekiel Elliott, in my mind, who I think hands down, I don't think you wean him into carrying the load after I watched him play. He's going to make mistakes. Maybe he'll fumble once or twice. But I think he's a legitimate back, Evan, and I think he's the Cowboys' best option in the backfield. So you look at both teams with a very viable running game, but I think it comes down to the offensive line. The Cowboys do have a very good offensive line, and like you said, Prescott showing promise. I think he's a guy that it can at least attempt to get men out of the box because he's shown a little bit here in the preseason. But when you look at this, Evan, now as far as heading into the season, the Cowboys may want to get a veteran quarterback to help Dak Prescott and Tony Romo. We talked about it last night. Scheduled to return in 6 to 10 weeks. But you and I both said he needs to really look at his health. And whether or not he comes back, it could be for a game or two games, and that fragile body could get hurt again. But I think in the Vikings situation, it's a veteran quarterback to come in and supplant Sean Hill. Do you think the Cowboys are looking for a veteran to supplant, keep him in the fire, Evan, and let him learn on the go?
I don't think they're looking for a backup to start over Prescott. I think they're looking for a backup in case Prescott struggles or Prescott gets hurt, because after Prescott, there's not really a lot there in Dallas whatsoever. And the Vikings, I think they're going to bring in a I wouldn't be surprised if the Vikings do bring in a veteran to push. So I know Hill's a veteran, but I mean more like a Kaepernick or Sanchez or maybe even a Matt Flynn. We just got a comment from Chuck at Brewer Fan 0419. What's Matt Flynn up to? So maybe that'd even be an option. I don't know. But looking at the time, there's something else I want to touch on, and that is Packers had to get the roster down to 75. And there were a couple names of recognition on there, names that fans may be familiar with or names that they might not. First of all, they traded one of their free agents from this year, McCray, to Buffalo for a draft pick. And then they also had to let go of Crockett. They let running back John Crockett go. I guess he injured his shoulder against the 49ers, and they don't believe he will be ready for the opening of the season, week one. So they let him go because of that. And they also let Kennard Backman, a tight end, who I think has a lot of promise, they let him go as well. But one name that was a shocker, one name that was a head-scratcher. So yesterday, the Packers cut Pete Martell. So thinking the job is Tim Mathis. We have another year of mediocre punting from Tim Mathis. That's what we're stuck with. And as what's his name on College Game Day would say, not so fast, as the Packers released Tim Mathis today. They released Tim Mathis and they claimed punter Jacob Schroem, however you pronounce it, off waivers from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. And I saw this tweet out there. I forget who put it, but there's only a handful of punters in the NFL last year, numbers-wise, worse than Tim Mathis, and Jacob Schroem was one of them. Schroem averaged 41.9 But net average of 38 yards. He had 15 down inside the 20, 4 touchdowns. And I will admit, I am one that wanted Tim Mack to take off. But I'm just confused because I thought Tim Mack was such a good holder on extra points and field goals, but that's part of why the job was his. So now they're bringing with one preseason game left, a whole new guy to have to learn how to hold the ball for Mason Crosby that all Mason Crosby needs to mesh with. You had Pete Martell. Why cut Matsay? I mean, why cut Martell if you're just going to cut Matsay today? Couldn't you keep Martell and bring Jacob Schremmen and have them basically duke it out from now until cut down to 53? Couldn't they have done that? I don't get it. I really don't understand, but, you know, I'm not Ted Thompson. I don't make those decisions. But it's just kind of an awkward situation to me. But what are your thoughts? The Packers, with one preseason game left, cut both of their punters within a day of one another, and then they bring in a perfectly new punter.
Well, I want to tell you this, Evan. You brought up a good point. My concern here, and my concern was with Tim Matsay leaving, is special teams, not punting. It's our kicker called Mason Crosby, who has been lights out ever since he was pooing the bed a few seasons ago when everybody wanted to run him out of town. He's just been lights out. You have to give some credit to the way that the field goal is executed, and there's a guy named a holder that is very important to get the ball down and get the ball down the right way. Crosby's been comfortable with Matsay. I know I was reading an article, and, hey, they're good friends. You know what? It's a business. I'm sure they understand the business side. But there's a comfort level. I know people think that kickers just kick. There is a lot that is placed on that holder, and that holder has to be good. I know we talked about Tony Romo, but if you remember way back, Evan, and why Tony Romo didn't win a playoff game, it's because he botched a hold in a playoff game on a chip shot field goal. Holders are very important. So my concern here is I don't give a crap about the punter right now. I give a crap about special teams and Mason Crosby because holding in cold weather at Lambeau Field is an art. It is not something, hey, I'm going to go out and hold on a field goal right now. So, yes, I'm concerned about that part of it. Punting, you know, I was saying before that I'm like, hey, just give Martell a shot. You know what? Punting is important. I'm not downplaying it, but we don't have a good punter right now. But it is very important for us to get those 3 points, especially in tight games. And I am just – I don't want to be negative. I don't want to be the pessimist. I don't want to be that guy. But something's telling me, Evan, now that all this crazy crap went down today, is that there's going to be a game we lose because of a bad hold. And it's going to be an important game. And I'm not saying it's going to be a chip shot, but I'm concerned about Crosby getting a new holder. And that's what I'm saying. Tim Matsay, as far as a punter goes, mediocre at best. I thought they should have let Martell have a chance, but I was also reading some things more in-depth about practice, and I guess he didn't out-punt Matsay in practice. But you know what? Practice is practice. It's game situation that matters to me. And this guy, Shum, that they brought in, honestly, the numbers are about the same. I mean, one of the things that was a little bit better is that he landed 15 of 56 punts inside the 20-yard line, which is, you know, okay. You like to pin guys inside the 20. But as far as an overall punter, you cut one that was a young rookie. Okay, I can understand that. And then, like you said, maybe they're going to keep Massey because of his holding ability. But then to cut him and bring in some other guy that is of equal value, it did not make sense to me, especially because of the special teams implication. You know, so, again, I'm not downplaying the importance of being able to change field position with a punter. But at the end of the day, we've got a kicker that has been, like I said, lights out. And a lot of that credit is due to the way that the ball is placed and the holds are down perfect, and all he has to do is kick. You're wondering in his head. And we'll find out right away, Evan. We'll find out early on a field goal attempts how comfortable Mason Crosby is with his holder. And I'll tell you what, if there's a botched hold early, that could be playing his head. And we both know kicking is a lot mental. And if Crosby's not there mentally, we saw what happened. It's not good. So that's my thought there, bud.
Yeah, so be interesting to see what happens from here on out. But looking at the time, we got like 4 minutes left. I got a question for you. This show had a guest host today named Tim Allen, and he was talking about the Badgers and LSU opening up Saturday at Lambeau Field. And the question was posed. I want to get your thought on this. If a Badger player, if the Badgers score a touchdown, and that's a big if, I'm not anticipating the Badgers to keep it close whatsoever. But if the Badgers were to score a touchdown on Saturday at Lambeau Field, should they do the Lambeau Leap? It is Lambeau Field. You know, should they do that Lambeau Leap? And, you know, personally, just kind of knowing Les Miles' track record, if the Badgers do it, Les Miles is going to run that score up. Badgers could be, it could be their first touchdown of the game. So the Badgers are down 30-0. If the Badgers do a Lambeau Leap at all, Les Miles will run that score up and up and up and up, because he's not going to like it. And also, you're giving LSU a free 15 yards because he will get a 15-yard penalty. I think it would be kind of cool per se to see. But, however, I don't think they should do it, because they're going to need all the help they can get against LSU on Saturday as it is. They don't need to gift LSU a free 15 yards. And I definitely don't want to see Les Mills get pissed off and run Les Miles get pissed off. I'm sorry, Les Mills in the workout program. But I don't want to see him get pissed off. I want to see him get pissed off and just decide he wants to run the score up to have like a 50-point win. So, as you can tell, Trump, I'm not very confident in the Badgers on Saturday. I just hope they keep it. If they score a touchdown, they should do a Lambeau Leap.
Well, I'm going to kind of chuckle inside, Evan, because I don't think they're scoring. I think they're outmanned this year against LSU. I mean, this is you have to be real about Wisconsin Badger football this year. I pulled it up, and it's funny that you brought this question up, because I was just looking at some of the Badger stuff this week, and I pulled up something I had saved. They have 114-person roster, Evan, just 13 teams. It's a young team, and my expectation is not very high for this year's Badger team, but, I mean, I'm not saying it's not talented. They just have to grow. They're inexperienced. And, you know, this is a great test in the beginning, early of the season, against a very good LSU team. Unfortunately, Evan, if they score, it's going to be after I think the game is out of hand. I know you're hoping for single digits. I'm hoping that they can keep it two scores, so 14 points. It's going to be interesting to watch the young team, but I just think they're very inexperienced. I'm not sure how they're going to match up against the fifth-rate LSU Tigers. But I think you're right. Les Miles will run the score up just because, if he sees a Lambeau Leap. I think this is a great test for a young Badger team. So now I'll change the tune, though. And let's say they would go down and score on the opening drive. I would be tempted as a player to want to do it, but I think also, you, like you said, do you want to give LSU a couple yards? You know, if it happened, Evan, I would cheer and be like, yeah, go for it. And at the end of the day, it would be what it is. I mean, these guys are going to play on emotion. A lot of football players do. I would, you know, you look at it and say, what a bonehead, because you're giving them yards on the kickoff. But at the end of the day, I'd say, hey, you scored a touchdown against LSU, and, you know, let's play football. So, you know, a celebration at the end of scoring, it's getting to the point everywhere where they don't want it because they're going to penalize you for it. I've always been a person, hey, there's nothing wrong with a little celebrating after a touchdown as long as you don't go overboard. I mean, everybody remembers Terrell Owens and his Sharpie. You know, that's going a little bit overboard. I've always been on the side that, you know, celebrations, you score, give them a couple seconds to do a quick celebration. As long as it doesn't go overboard, I'm okay with it. I'm looking at the time. We're in archive time, Evan. So I'm going to throw it back over to you, see if you have any last words, and then we'll let our listeners go.
Yeah, I don't have any last words. Just thank you for Chuck at RealFan0419 for giving the show a live and interacting with us. And he replied back, I don't know if they're going to penalize for Lambeau Week. Would be cool to see. So for listening to the show. So with that, I'm going to throw it back to you and let you let our listeners go.
Yeah, it's always nice to have our fans, and I had the chance to be on social media a little bit before the show. Looks like we're getting a little more, you know, I know we're in archive time, so I'll just, you know, I'll be able to throw this out there. We're up to 16 votes on our Twitter poll, so it's nice to know that people are listening to the show, chiming in on our Twitter account. For you that have listened to the whole episode into the archive time, if you want to find us on Twitter, it's at Red Light Sports, or you can actually go follow Evan at Evan Witt Sports, and then make sure you go like our Facebook page. We definitely love interacting with our fans. Glad that you listen. Glad that you like the show. And Evan and I will get back with you tomorrow night. It is Wednesday night, Evan, which means Twitter talk, and I'm sure there'll be a lot more NFL news to talk about and maybe even some baseball talk as we're getting to September baseball, which is the time where teams are now jockeying for that wild card playoff position. We talked about it before. The division races are pretty much locked up in most divisions, a little bit out of reach in some. But with that said, everyone, for Evan Witalison, I am Troy Otradovic. Hope you enjoyed the show tonight. Fasten your seatbelts, put your foot on the gas. Have a great night, everyone.